Today's reading is from Matthew 22:15-17. Turn to your Bibles to Matthew 22:15-17, or you can turn to page 803 in the Bibles provided. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" You may be seated, and the children may go to children's church.
The band will be giving autographs at the back of the church after the service. Some disappointing news: a recent survey by the Wall Street Journal and the University of Chicago. Over the last 25 years, patriotism and its importance has gone from 70% to 38%. Those who valued religion went from 62% to 39%. Having children from 59% to 30%. Community involvement from 47% to 27%. Americans valuing tolerance of others, 80% to 58%. But I have one bit of good news. There was one increase from 31% to 43%, valuing money. This is where I say those immortal words: we are doomed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, we are in deep need of a people, of a church, of a nation and a globe that needs you. Lord, we are often caught up in the mundane and lose the importance of what is really valued and concentrate on what will do us no good. Let us seek you first, Father, in your holy name. Amen. So if I was going to be writing a Western story or some spy novel, this part of Jesus' life would be called the ambush. This is the Passion Week. Passion coming from Latin for suffering. It's the week of suffering. Jesus has gone from the triumphal entry, coming in basically as a leader, as a Messiah, as the Savior, to now the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are against him. And they are trying to trap him. And he has called them out through parables and stories. In Matthew 22, then the Pharisees, one of the many groups of religious leaders, and oftentimes when it says religious leaders, it would include the Pharisees. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They're mad at him. He has called them out. He has made them look bad. They want to be the religious leaders. They want the people to honor them. They don't care about the left hand knowing what the right hand knows. They want the honor. They want the glory. They want people to know they're important. And they want the authority. And multiple times, Jesus has basically, through a story, blamed them. The parable of the two sons, the vineyard, the wedding banquet. Jesus has showed that they don't care about God and they only care about themselves. He has basically demonstrated those people who are supposed to be the religious leaders, who are supposed to show the people the way to God, are only showing them the way to themselves. And they, instead of helping people, have become the hindrance. So they sent their disciples along with the Herodians. So they're hiding behind their disciples. They're not even going to go face them one-on-one now. And the Herodians are probably Jews that supported Herod, the Herod family. This goes back to the Herod of Jesus' birth time, and now his sons are in control in different parts. And they're probably good Jews, and they think the best way to help the Jews is maybe to work through Herod, or they sold out to Herod. It's hard to know. but they're definitely against Jesus. And, you know, their view might be, the enemy of my enemies is my friend. So maybe they don't like the Romans, but hey, if they're going to be against Jesus, we'll be on their side. They're out for political gain. They're not out to help the people. And it seems like these Pharisees are scared of getting beat up, so they're going to send their disciples. Or maybe it's deception because, like, well, he knows who we are, but if we send this young group, you know, maybe that we can get by with something. And they say teacher, which is somewhat ironic because if he is their teacher, why aren't they following what he teaches? They said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Okay, this is just snobbery, manipulation, pandering. The fancy word might be sycophants. You know, just but we're going to be yes men. Well, if all that's true, why aren't they following him? Tell us then, what is your opinion? Teacher, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? They had temple taxes for the Jews, but also Rome as a government had an imperial tax to pay for their occupation. They got to pay their soldiers. They got to pay their governors, the Herods, the Pilates. They have to pay them. So they have a tax. Taxation without representation. We won't get into that yet. And, you know, who wants to support taxes? But remember, if you're against taxes, Romans killed protesters. They didn't use rubber bullets. They didn't use water hoses. They used swords and daggers, and they threw you over a cliff. So, who wants to support taxes, get the people mad at you? If you're against taxes, you probably get yourself killed. You know, Rome wasn't big into free speech. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, people who say one thing and do another, why are you trying to trap me? So the jig's up. Jesus obviously knows what's going on. You know, and you got to ask, did the Pharisees really think Jesus is that dumb that he wouldn't see that his disciples are the same as them? I mean, like, he wouldn't figure out what's going on. And so Jesus follows what's called the Socratic method. Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose image is this and whose inscription? So he's asking questions to gain answers. Now, this isn't avoiding the question. I mean, oftentimes when you see politicians or celebrities get asked a question, they talk about everything but the question. I would like to ask a second question, like, why aren't you asking or answering the question? You just see politicians do it all the time. You see celebrities do it all the time. It's not trying to get out of the problem. It's not trying to delay. And it's not jaded. It's not sarcasm. It's to find out what's really going on. You're asking the who, the what, the why. Who is on the coin? What does that mean? Caesar, they replied. Then he said, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Caesar represented the Roman Empire. And when they heard this, they were amazed, so they left and went away. They thought they had Jesus in a trap. They dug a hole. And it didn't work at all. In fact, he used their own logic against them. He asked a few simple questions and turned it all around. So what does this mean for today? Jesus, taxes, and government, where could a sermon like that go wrong? Patriotism and citizenship. Well, first of all, don't blame me, blame Jesus. You need to pay the piper. If you want to run off into the hills, drive a bus, get in a militia, and fight the government and say, I don't have to pay taxes, I think you're wrong. We are to pay our taxes. But I want you to know, I was for taxes before I was against them. The problem is not taxes. In fact, most of us in some ways like taxes. We like our roads. We like our sidewalks. We like city lights. I like the roads that are striped. I'd like to ask who stripes some of the roads here in town because they look pretty weavy. You can tell where the county line starts because the lines are straight. The problem is not taxes. The problem is wasteful spending. Here's an analogy from 2022. If you ran your household like the government, I probably did this a year ago. Let's just say you make $70,000. That means, as the government, you would spend $90,000. And the math is really simple. That means you're putting 20 grand every year on your credit card. And one time my wife and I looked up who we owe our money to, and Japan and China were on top. Lots of people are giving us money. Because when you spend 20 grand more a year, you got to borrow it from somebody. And you're already some $450,000 in debt. You're already $500,000 in debt. That's a big car payment. And you're adding $20,000 every year. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you or I did that, after a while, we'd end up in jail. In the United States, you end up in Congress. Now, you're laughing at Congress, but I'm going to turn this around, and you're going to be laughing at yourself. The mirror is an ugly thing. You know, and honestly, I'm for taxes. I mean, especially local taxes. Okay? Like when we lived in Amarillo, there was a tax for parks and libraries. And my wife and I, we like parks and libraries. Here in town, we like to go walk around the Claire. I was tickled when we moved here and they cleaned up our library. I remember going to this library when I first moved here, there was more duct tape than carpet and it smelled. I don't mean that like figuratively, I mean it literally smelled. It was dirty and moldy and misty. And I was like, what do we think about our children if this is our library? I'm glad they remodeled it. Well, the problem with this tax in Amarillo that drove me nuts, and of course it's a big city, you know, you're 200,000 plus. It was a great tax. It's going to build and remodel the libraries and redo the parks. The problem is there was no end to the tax. And I'm thinking, okay, in 5 years when this is all built, because it's more expensive to build than maintain, and I understand maintenance, but they weren't going to change or cut the tax. They're just going to absorb it. I think that's wrong. I mean, and then you're in a big city, where do you argue? And and of course, we all laughed when I said go to Congress, and you can look at both parties. Maybe one party wants to drive off the fiscal cliff at 120 miles an hour. The other one wants to go at 90 miles an hour. Either way, we go over the fiscal cliff. And why do they do that? Because everybody likes Santa Claus. We vote for people who give us stuff. Why do they get elected? Because we vote them in. And we say things like, vote the bums out, and yet we don't. And if we say they're bums, look in the mirror, who are we? How do you stop the madness? Because, I mean, how long can we continue down that fiscal road? And we're called to pay our taxes. I think one of the best answers I have is community involvement, which that survey shows people don't want to do. I think there should be more Christian libertarians, more Christian Democrats, more Christian Republicans. I think we need to pray for our nation. I mean, sometimes, let's face it, if you're in Coffeyville, if you're in Southeast Kansas, nobody's listening to us. I mean, what does our state have? I should know this now. 3 electoral college votes, 3 representatives. But we can pray. If we believe in the God, power of God, we can be involved in our community. And by that, I don't mean Facebook. I mean involved in our community. learn what's going on, care about your leaders, pray for your leaders here in our town, in our state, in our nation. It's easy and fun to laugh at our congressmen, but do we pray for them? This Wednesday, it's the first of the month. Every first Wednesday of the month, we have prayer at 5:30, and we pray for our nation. We pray for our schools, public and private. We pray for each other. As believers, if we believe in the power in prayer, then we should be praying. I don't always have a lot of answers. A five-year-old can point out problems. That's not a gift. Figuring out answers, that's important. That's hard to do. And it begins with prayer. And you know, I gave those statistics about patriotism, and some people think it's cool to be unpatriotic. There's this thing called Christian nationalism, and I really don't know what it is, but a pastor I read one time said he doesn't have a United States flag in his church because he doesn't want to promote Christian nationalism. I'm like, dude, I don't know what the problems are in your church, but I wish I had your problems. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I'm glad I live in a country where I want to fly the flag. Okay, we're called to support our government. We are. That's not against patriotism. Now, if you put patriotism over God, that's different. And I'm sure there's people like that. And I'm not saying to blindly support our country. No, to realize its problems. And we got problems. And to be able to tolerate people who have a different view of fixing that problem than you. Now, I understand there's some things we can work on. There's some things I'll never agree with. I'll never agree with abortion. I'll never agree with racism. I just won't. There's no middle ground for me on that. It doesn't mean I hate you because you're different. You may hate me. I will not hate you back. I can quote Michelle Obama, who said, "When they go low, we go high." And she's indirectly quoting Jesus Christ. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Bless those who persecute you. I could also quote somebody else who said, "When they go low, we kick back." No. We respond in a godly manner. We stand up to it. We don't let them run us over. But we don't kick back like a dirty fight. I am glad I live in a country that I can support. I am not saying our country is perfect. I don't know what that impossible standard is. But you know, if I lived in Sweden, if I lived in Kenya, if I lived in South Korea, I would have that flag up there. And I would probably like my government. I don't live there, so I don't know. But my guess is I'd be proud. Versus living in North Korea, Russia, or China. If there's a flag there, you know why? They make me put it there. There's a big difference. And this kind of this hipster view of I despise the United States. Okay, you can disagree and you can protest. You realize you live in a country where you can despise your country, despise your government, hate it, protest, and still go to work on Monday morning. In other countries, you disappear. I'm reading a novel about the Argentinian government. It's one of those historical novels. And The detective, he tells his wife, they disappeared him. They had turned the word into a verb. How sad is that? Because his brother got disappeared because he is protesting the dictatorship. I'm glad I live in a country where I can fly that flag because I want to, not because I have to. And if I don't want to, they won't disappear me in the morning. You have the right to protest. You even have the right to hate this country, but I think it's foolish to do so. We are called to support our government. That doesn't mean blindly. Fight for sound fiscal policies, sound taxing and spending, stand against corruption. We are obligated. And you know what else it said? And God. In fact, I'd say more so God. Now, if Christian nationalism means you put your country before God, that's wrong. God Not God and country, God before country. It's the best thing we can do for our country. We are called not only to pay taxes. And see, when most people read this, they think it's about taxes. Read the whole thing. And Caesar, that's who was on the coin, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's not just money, but support, prayer. Not just criticism, but prayer. Not just jokes, but prayer. And to God, what is God's. One of the best ways you can support your government is by serving the Lord God Almighty. It's like when I talk about marriage. One of the best things you can give to your kids is a good marriage. And that's foundational. To God, what is God's? And you know what's God's? Everything you got. He wants the kitchen sink and everything else. It's all His. It's not just church attendance. And church attendance is important. He wants your heart, soul, and mind, and your body. All to Him. Not just your tithe. And your tithe in giving to church is important. But He wants you. He's jealous for us. Just like a wife and husband is jealous for each other. Just like parents are jealous for their children. And children are jealous for their parents. It's a righteous jealousy. He wants us. You know, and because of you, like I said, we have benevolence programs. We help people with their electric bill. We help people with clothing. We help the pregnancy center. We help our schools. We're involved there. Harvest party, Easter egg hunt. You know, I like to joke, we set up our bounce house around town. It's spectacular. And, you know, it's hard for people to complain and moan as you're helping their kids into a bounce house and giving them popcorn, but they still do. But you know what? We do it anyways. We're showing the love of Christ in a very tangible way. All of that is only possible when you say, and God, what is God's? Otherwise, we as a church could not and would not be here. I mean, when we helped the Gazinskis move, it was three different churches. Two different pastors, and that one pastor couldn't be there. He's a smart man. He sent his wife. That was a joke. And it's recorded. And I'll never live that down. But you had three different churches there, three different groups of kids. What a blessing. I mean, I have nothing against David and Edie, but they'd probably still be unloading if we wouldn't have been there. It was so neat. It was such a blessing. It's only possible with you. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. I think one of the best things you can give to God is loving your country and being a patriot and not being afraid to point out its flaws in a godly, loving manner. This Wednesday, join us for prayer at 5:30. I love these words. So give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed. So this Wednesday night, we can do both. We can be the body of Christ, come together, and we can pray. And we can ask God, how do you want to use me in my community? I think it's really sad when we don't value tolerance from 80 to 58%. Community involvement from 47 to 27%. But our value of money is increased over 10%. God have mercy on our souls. The only way for us to turn that around is for we as the body of Christ living out our faith in prayer and action. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us take your call to heart. Let us be a people of prayer, a people of action, a people serving our nation through our taxes, through our involvement, through our community involvement, through our prayer. And Lord, be a people serving you in all aspects of our lives, giving all of what we have to you, because it's all yours, to serve you how you would call us. Lord, yes, out of obligation, because we need to know what's right and do what's right, but more so out of a love and devotion to you. Let us be a people of prayer and action. We pray this, Father God, our Creator, empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.